The U.S. Defense Department says it has no information to confirm that Iran is providing Russia with surface-to-surface missiles and more drones. North Korea says the recent artillery fire off its east and west coasts was a, quote, grave warning to the South to stop its provocations. And a new poll shows the U.S. president's approval rating stays close to the lowest level of his presidency just 3 weeks from the midterm elections. Top story this hour, the United States says it cannot confirm reports of Russia receiving Iranian surface-to-surface missiles and more drones. The Pentagon says Washington does not have information of corroborating reports that Iran has promised to provide Russia with its missiles and drones. This after certain Western media claimed Moscow and Tehran had agreed in early October on the delivery of the Iranian weapons to Russia. Iran has once again rejected Western allegations about providing Russia with weapons and drones to be used in the war in Ukraine. Iran's foreign ministry spokesperson says such claims are based on false information. Nasser Kanani called the allegations part of political and purposeful media propaganda against the Islamic Republic. He also expressed Iran's readiness to talk with Ukraine to resolve the accusations. Earlier, Russian officials also roundly rejected any use of Iranian drones in Ukraine. Kiev and its Western allies claim that Russia has conducted a spate of attacks using Iran-made drones in recent weeks. In the meantime, Kiev says it is considering cutting all diplomatic ties with Tehran. That's as Iran had advised Ukraine to avoid being influenced by those who are seeking to destroy the relations. In yet another hostile move, the European Union has imposed sanctions on over a dozen Iranian officials and entities. That's over the accusation that Iran violated human rights while dealing with recent riots and vandalism there. In December 2020, the bloc adopted a policy to address serious rights violations and abuses worldwide. However, to do so, the EU would crucially need to comply with human rights itself.
The European Union has imposed sanctions on Iran over its response to recent riots in the country. The sanctions list includes 11 individuals and 4 entities and targets a section of Iran's police, the Basij Volunteer Forces, and the cyber division of the country's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps. The Iranian Information Minister is also blacklisted. The coercive measures include travel bans and asset freezes. The sanctions were imposed during a meeting of EU foreign ministers. The move drew strong condemnation from Tehran, with the Iranian Foreign Ministry promising reciprocal bans on European officials and entities.
The Islamic Republic of Iran will make a reciprocal and proportionate reaction.
Iran's foreign ministry has described the EU sanctions as a violation of international law and a clear example of meddling in the country's internal affairs. The ministry also accused the bloc of bias and using human rights as a means to achieve political goals. Iran's foreign minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian also took to Twitter to dismiss the sanctions as futile and based on false allegations.
Down a well-worn path of ineffective sanctions, the EU today adopted further superfluous sanctions on Iranian persons. It is an unconstructive act out of miscalculation based on widespread disinformation. Riots and vandalism are not tolerated anywhere. Iran is no exception.
The EU and its member states had already acquired a reputation as major violators of human rights in Iran due to their inaction and endorsement of harsh US sanctions on the country. In the statement, the EU condemned what it called the widespread and disproportionate use of force against peaceful protesters in Iran. The EU foreign ministers accused the Iranian police of being responsible for Mahsa Amini's death, claiming she was beaten and mistreated. That's while a forensic investigation dismissed allegations that she was beaten and attributed her death to an underlying condition. The EU has intentionally disregarded and dismissed documents offered by Iran proving foreign support for the riots and showing that accusations leveled against the government are baseless.
The EU claims its anti-Iran sanctions are in response to what it calls crackdown on peaceful protests. Iranian officials say those who are responsible for vandalism, death and rioting cannot be categorized as peaceful protesters. Meanwhile, there have been plenty of instances of European governments' widespread violations of human rights and suppression of peaceful protests in their own countries.
The US, Canada and the UK leveled new sanctions against Iranian authorities and entities in response to the recent unrest in Iran, and the EU followed suit. These countries say Iranians' right to peacefully protest must be ensured under any circumstances. But as Iran's foreign minister has described it, these nations have considered riots and terrorist actions as protests in interventionist comments, which in effect incite rioters and terrorists.
We need to separate the riots from peaceful demonstration. Anyone in their right state of mind will understand the difference between these two and separate them. The reality is people do have legitimate right everywhere in the world. Indeed, in Iran, is part of the Iranian constitution. They have the right to demonstrate, but no one has got the right to commit riots and endanger people's lives.
Meanwhile, there have been plenty of instances of the Western government's widespread violations of human rights and suppression of peaceful protests in their own countries, particularly in the EU. Serious human rights violations, including corruption, human trafficking, racism, and discrimination, persist across Europe, while unemployment and poverty in many countries are nurturing extremism and conflicts. Therefore, Iranian officials say the EU cannot impose sanctions on Iran as long as countries within the bloc are violating human rights.
North Korea says it fired artillery shells toward its east and west coasts in a grave warning to the South Korea. Pyongyang says, quote, enemies should immediately stop provocative actions that cause military tension. According to the South Korean military, Pyongyang fired some 250 shells into the sea. North Korea's latest military activity comes just a day after the South kicked off its annual Hoguk defense drills. Seoul says, the joint maneuvers are aimed at boosting the ability of its troops to counter North Korea's nuclear threats. Pyongyang says the drills are a rehearsal for invasion. North Korea has repeatedly reacted by launching long and short-range missiles. 3 weeks from midterm elections in the United States, President Joe Biden's approval rating stays close to the lowest level during his presidency. A new poll conducted by Reuters Ipsos shows only 40% of Americans are satisfied with Biden's performance. The two-day national poll remains unchanged compared to last week. It shows about a third of Americans see economy as the principal problem facing the country. The respondents included both Democrats and Republicans. With the elections ahead, the new figure is raising the alarms that Democrats may lose control of the House of Representatives and the Senate. The United States is facing high inflation with many families struggling to cover expenses. Biden's popularity hit a record low of 36% in May and June. Ignoring mass protests in Haiti, which rejected foreign intervention, Washington says it will propose a non-UN mission authorizing to use military force in the Caribbean country. This as the United States is routinely accused of masterminding the assassination of Haiti's previous president. Ramin Mazari reports from Chicago.
Washington is poised to spearhead yet another military intervention in protest-racked Haiti and will even propose a non-United Nations mission to do so. Anti-government protesters have become routinely labeled gang members in the Western mainstream media. However, many say that such a negative characterization aims to smooth Western public opinion for the use of force in Haiti yet again.
Even calling them gangs in some ways might be misleading. Some of these groups are political organizations, and the state is so weak because state institutions have been eroded by neoliberal policies, by corruption, by neocolonial policies, that these forces that are leading these protests could potentially have the power to overthrow this U.S. puppet government.
Haitian instability escalated following the 2021 assassination of President Jovenel Moïse by Colombian mercenaries. Western mainstream media have reported that several of the assassins worked alongside U.S. intelligence groups. Haitian media accuses Washington of hiding evidence to keep its role in the murder a mystery.
Who replaced him? A U.S. puppet named Ariel Henry, who's the current president. Ariel Henry has no democratic mandate, and he has a long history of serving U.S. imperial interests in Haiti. In fact, he got his political start in being involved in the coup backed by the U.S. that ousted the progressive, popular president, Aristide, who was the first ever democratically elected president of Haiti.
Haitian civil society groups have emphatically rejected the prime minister's call for foreign intervention. There is also widespread denunciation for the West, which continues to back the government despite its decision to indefinitely postpone elections and a constitutional referendum. Many protesters have called upon Beijing and Moscow to use their UN Security Council veto to reject an official United Nations mission. In 2010, UN peacekeepers caused an outbreak of cholera which killed 10,000 Haitians and infected nearly 1 million, with sexual assault scandals commonplace. For over two centuries, Haitian sovereignty has been regularly subjugated, first by France and then by the United States. Ramin Mazahiri, Chicago.
U.S. President Joe Biden will announce the release of 15 million barrels of strategic oil reserves in a bid to counter soaring energy prices ahead of midterm elections. A senior administration official has said more release would be likely in case of a spike in energy prices. The 15 million figure is the last part of 180 million barrels Biden ordered in March to release from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. The move comes about 2 weeks from after OPEC and its oil exporting allies announced a cut in oil production by 2 million barrels per day to boost prices. Biden first tapped the reserves last November amid a spike in gas prices and soaring inflation that was exacerbated by the Ukraine war. Saudi Arabia sentences a U.S. citizen to 16 years in jail over tweets critical of the kingdom in yet another case of the regime's crackdown on dissent. Saad Ibrahim Al-Mahdi was also given a travel ban for another 16 years. Al-Mahdi was arrested in November last year upon landing in Riyadh for a two-week stay to visit his family. He was detained for 11 months without trial. The 72-year-old is charged with supporting and funding terrorism and trying to destabilize the kingdom. Washington says it has raised concerns with Riyadh over the jail sentence. The State Department says the U.S. administration has consistently expressed concern with the case at senior levels. Saudi Arabia has a long history of human rights violations. In August, two Saudi women were sentenced to nearly 80 years in jail for their critical social media posts. Yemeni children remain the most affected segment of the society as the world's largest humanitarian crisis continues in the Arab country. Recent international reports say over 2 million Yemeni children are out of school, while nearly 3,000 schools have been damaged during the Saudi war. Abdul Latif Al-Washali reports from Sana'a.
Since the beginning of the Saudi-led coalition war on Yemen on March 2015, attacks on education centers have severely disrupted access to education. A recent UN report says over 2,900 schools have been destroyed, partially damaged, or used for non-educational purposes. Even though the world body did not mention the cause of the destructions in its report, most of the schools were hit by the Saudi aerial attacks.
Since the beginning of the war against our country, the Saudi-led coalition has been seeking to target the educational system because the enemy realizes the importance of education and its role in the society. So the coalition cut the salaries of employees, including teachers, which negatively affected the country's education. Due to the war, we were only able to print a very small percentage of the textbooks, and the poor living conditions forced many children to leave education and enter the labor market to support their families.
For its part, the International Committee of the Red Cross has urged the international community to save the education system in the country. It says there are over 2 million children out of school and over 8 million students need support to access education. Structured learning has been further hindered as 172,000 teachers have been irregularly paid since 2016, while some have not been paid at all. Sadly, some teachers could not even cover the transportation costs as they are working voluntarily.
Despite all the challenges, education remains the safety net for future generations. Therefore, Yemenis say they will keep pushing their children to schools, hoping to build a generation that will reconstruct the country after the Saudi-led war. Abdulatif Loshali, Sana'a.
And finally, the Russian military has warned that Kiev is planning to use what it called a prohibited means of waging war in southern Ukraine. Russian General Sergei Surovikin says the plan includes a massive strike on a strategic hydroelectric plant. The Russian commander says Kiev will launch massive rocket and artillery attacks on the city of Kherson. The Russian general warned such actions can lead to, quote, massive casualties among the civilian population. Kherson's governor has ordered the evacuation of civilians from four nearby towns. Russia captured the city of Kherson in the early days of war.
This is IRIB English Radio. With you early in the morning. With you at midday. With you till the night's end. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight. Chancellor of Germany, Olaf Scholz, plans to travel to China around 3rd of November in a delicate balancing act to discuss business interests. We have taken at some of the world media's look at this event. Please stay with us. According to Bloomberg News Agency, the German Chancellor Olaf Scholz will visit China in early November. If it proves to be true, his Tuesday remarks that decoupling with China would be the wrong path and that globalization has been a success story that enabled prosperity explicitly delivered what is the mainstream attitude of Germany. Ending globalization and decoupling from China to form a relatively closed political economic bloc dominated by the United States is the new geopolitical pattern Washington has been trying to promote. The United States has strengthened its technological blockade against China and has always wanted to pull the whole of Europe into its tech economic chariot against China. As some European countries and enterprises also feel some pressure from China's modernization, voices echoing the call to pursue decoupling from China of the United States are gradually increasing. Since the start of the Russia-Ukraine conflict, the entire West has decoupled from Russia in a shock-like manner. The United States then took the lead in threatening China. If China provides military assistance to Russia or helps Russia systematically evade sanctions, it would absolutely face consequences. The US has further threatened that once the Chinese mainland resolves the Taiwan question by force, the West will sanction China in the same way that it did with Russia, which means complete decoupling. That is to say, the United States has created a future scenario and possibility of a complete decoupling of the West from China, which actually constitutes a strategic coercion to Europe. Josep Borrell, the European Union's High Representative for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy, said in a speech on Monday that Europe's prosperity is built on cheap energy from Russia and access to the big markets of China, in addition to security protection from the United States. In his view, this is a world that is no longer there. This reflects the complex mentality of some Europeans. What Josep Borrell said about the importance of Russia and China to European prosperity is an indisputable fact. Europe is not the United States. It does not have the US ability to innovate and monopolize semiconductor and internet technologies. It is not self-sufficient in energy and is weak militarily. Europe as a whole lives in the shadow of American hegemony. Maintaining long-term prosperity means greater challenges for Europe. Among them, the biggest strategic issue in Europe after the Cold War has always been how to gain more political and economic autonomy and create more independent space for its own prosperity. Both China and Russia are partners, not rivals, of the European Union in establishing its strategic autonomy. The Nord Stream gas pipeline, which has been strongly opposed by the United States, has now been sabotaged, heralding the end of Europe's use of cheap Russian energy. To further promote the decoupling of Europe and China is Washington's attempt to kill two birds with one stone, or even three birds with one stone. Through the Russia-Ukraine conflict, it will simultaneously hit the economies of Russia and China, whilst also making Europe further entrapped in a vassal status to the United States and unable to extricate itself. Separating the three major powers of China, Europe and Russia from each other would be more conducive to the United States to defeat each of them and consolidate its hegemony again. But some European elites are now waking up. The French finance minister Bruno Le Maire on Monday publicly criticized the United States of pushing energy shortages and hiking up the price of liquefied natural gas through the Russia-Ukraine conflict. The French finance minister, Bruno Le Maire, said, "We cannot accept that our American partner sells its liquefied natural gas at four times the price at which it sells it to its own companies." Le Maire said that the conflict in Ukraine must not end in American economic domination and a weakening of the European Union. The statements from the German Chancellor Olaf Scholz and the French Foreign Minister Bruno Le Maire actually conveyed the same dissatisfaction and sense of crisis, indicating that after the Russia-Ukraine conflict that has lasted for more than half a year, Europeans have gradually found that the strategic direction of the situation is becoming seriously unfavorable to Europe, and the United States has become the biggest beneficiary of the war, and Washington is trying to expand the unilateral benefits of its own. There is no geopolitical conflict between China and Europe. The United States has repeatedly promoted and shaped China as a geopolitical opponent of the entire West, all for Washington's own selfishness. Because the United States has strong control over European elites, Some of the latter disregard European interests and brag about American strategic tricks as serving European interests. The Chinese have firm strategic wills, and we hope that the Europeans can also maintain a basic sobriety and not be hijacked by the United States. In the first 8 months of this year, European companies' investment in China surged by 123%. Many European manufacturing giants continue to bet part of their future in cooperation with China, and they're expressing their attitude towards Europe's China policy with their actions. On the contrary, it was reported that Britain's Liz Truss. On the contrary, it was reported that the British government, under the leadership of Liz Truss, is preparing to redefine China from a systemic competitor to a threat to the United Kingdom. The UK is the number one vassal of the United States in Europe, and number 10 Downing Street wants to bring Europe together to help the United States confront China. Let Liz Truss do it herself. Britain is in crisis. Scotland is fighting for a new independence referendum. A country that does not seek to develop itself and try to profit from its relationship with the United States has no future. The United Kingdom is becoming more and more marginalized, and I believe that Europe will not go in the same direction.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and how about listening to a thought-provoking saying from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, the vicegerent of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Do not make a sinner despair. Many of the sinful enjoy a happy end on repentance, while many of the seemingly devout rupture their deeds and deserve hell. Allah may protect us from hell.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, self-restraint. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome everyone. This is A to Z show from the IRB English Radio. I'm your host Hussein Hinzano. Now, in today's lesson, we are talking about self-restraint. One of the most important factors for self-building and self-refinement is guarding and supervising and paying attention towards the self. A wise person who is concerned about his well-being and prosperity would not remain ignorant about his own moral abjectness and physical disease. Rather, he will be continuously guarding and supervising his self, and he will be strictly controlling his habits and his etiquette, actions. He will also be controlling his deeds and even his thoughts. So we will discuss this matter in details as follows. First of all, we are talking about self-restraint. What are the things that we need to do in order for us to control this habit of self-restraint? One of them is by recording our deeds, the recording of deeds. The Quranic verses and traditions from the Holy Prophet and his Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam indicate that all actions and all deeds, all sayings, even all types of breathings and intentions and thoughts of human beings, they are recorded in his letter of deeds and will remain filed for the day of resurrection. And each person will be judged on that day strictly in accordance to his performance. For example, God Almighty said in the Holy Quran, "The day mankind will issue forth in scattered groups to be shown their deeds. And whoso doth good an atom's weight will see it then, and whoso doth ill on atom's weight will see it then." Therefore, if we believe that all our movements and actions and deeds, sayings, and even thoughts are being registered, they're being recorded and saved, then how could we remain naive about the consequences arising therein? Definitely, we're going to restrain our own selves. This is the only way we can restrain our own selves. First of all, is by knowing that our deeds are being recorded. This will definitely lead us to restrain our own selves.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.com.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
La ilaha illallah. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z program from the IRB English Radio. We're talking about self-restraint. Now, what are the factors that will make us achieve the habit of self-restraint, will make us practice the habit of self-restraint? One of them is the accounting on the day of judgment. For us to understand that on the day of judgment, all our deeds are going to be accounted for. They're going to be put in account. A lot of Quranic verses and traditions confirm that human beings will be accounted for their deeds accurately on the day of resurrection. All their deeds, whether small or big, shall be checked, and even the most insignificant action shall not be neglected. For example, God Almighty said in the Holy Quran, "And we set a just balance for the day of resurrection, so that no soul is wronged in aught, though it be of the weight of a grain of mustard seed, we will bring it, and we suffice for recognize." This is a saying from the Quran. This is the verse from the Quran that talks about the meaning of the day of judgment. What will be happening on the day of judgment? On the day of judgment, the accountability that is going to take place on the day of judgment is something that we should ponder on in order for us to attain the habit of self-restraint. So the habit of self-restraint can only be practiced by us pondering on a few issues. First of all, is by us recognizing and understanding that on the day of judgment, all that we do in this world is going to be accounted for. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Until next episode, inshallah, we will talk more about this. Fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Robots are slowly but surely becoming part of everyday life, taking on human roles in different areas. Now, fast food restaurants can make French fries faster and better as a robot called Flippy 2 takes over the job.
When an order comes in through the restaurant system, it automatically spits out the instructions to Flippy. It takes a frozen product, fries it for the precise amount of time, and puts the finished product in the end. It does it faster, more accurately, more reliably, and happier than most humans do it.
Flippy 2 has been created in a robotic lab in California called MISO after 5 years of efforts by its developers. According to the project engineers, a really good understanding of the food science is needed to make sure the food quality is there, how different food sticks together, and how the temperature and heat affect it. The MISO CEO says the machine can cook several meals with different recipes simultaneously, removing the need for catering staff.
This technology utilizes a whole bunch of computer vision. There's cameras throughout the system, including right here we have these food identification cameras. The cameras not only guide the robot and tell it exactly where it is in space and how to move through this area, but also identifies the food type and it knows the recipe for each one.
The MISO CEO says tasks like the fry station are the kind that humans are most happy to offload. The name Flippy comes from the original machine designed to flip burgers, which was not very useful for restaurants. a celebrated Chinese artist integrates his life experiences and the beauty of his homeland using his own distinctive style of traditional painting. Chen Jialing is known for his Chinese ink paintings. Chen brings to life the imaginative richness and culture through his depictions of landscape with every brush of color. He is most famous for breaking traditional painting techniques while staying within the framework of the art form. Chen says one of his favorite subjects is the Jianggong Mountains, especially during certain hours when the sunlight offers its own visual delights.
The composition of this painting is based on the main peak of the Jianggong Mountains, because the main peak is the most majestic and imposing, especially at noon. The sun shines on the trees, forming a contour light involving trees and the large mountains, which is extremely beautiful.
The 85-year-old artist has also used fused traditional landscape painting with modern technology. Though Chen has participated in numerous art exhibitions, but he says his first solo exhibit was held in his 70s, and that's when his career really took off. Chen says he plans to paint as much of his homeland's stunning scenery as possible during his lifetime.
Freedom is an essential virtue that is valued not only by humans but animals as well, just like two eagle owls that have been released into the wild after being born in a Madrid zoo. The two owl twins were freed after months of training to survive in the nature. First, they were taken to a big aviary to develop the necessary skills, including those for hunting prey. The aviary is designed to have a similar environment to the local mountain range. Meantime, they need to gain muscle and come to a suitable weight. After passing various skill tests, the owls are released as part of Madrid Zoo's breeding program of night birds of prey. 7 eagle owls and 11 barn owls have been released since the program was launched in 2017. However, some of them flew back seeking shelter as they failed to adapt to the nature.
Art restoration requires intensive research and training and loads of skill. But imagine the anxiety while professionals embark on restoring rare paintings. Under careful supervision, French restorers are working to give back to 500-year-old paintings their former glory. They were rescued from a fire that engulfed the Notre-Dame Cathedral in Paris in 2019. These works date back from the 17th and early 18th century. The paintings, including 22 with large format, were temporarily stored in a warehouse and now being restored at an undisclosed location. The fire caused strictly no damage to the paintings, but they have accumulated thick layers of dirt and smoke on the surface after hanging in the cathedral for centuries. Some of the works also have paint loss due to overcleaning that restorers say need to be repaired elegantly.
On the outskirts of China's metropolis, Shanghai, a tiny island has been dubbed Cat Island as it provides shelter for stray animals. Since it opened last month, a charity based on the island is taking in cats mainly brought from Shanghai residents. These small carnivorous mammals are neutered and evaluated, and those with good temper and health are allowed to roam free on the island. The city's Stray Cats Management Center says their trap-neuter-release policy is to protect stray cats, limits their population, and maintain ecological balance. However, Shanghai has an estimated 200 stray cats per square kilometer, which means other methods will be needed to control the urban population, stray cats.
Music.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A pair of baby panda twins make their debut appearance at the Chongqing Zoo in southwest China, with visitors flocking to cherish the abundance of cuteness.
Our returnee panda, Ershan, gave birth to the twin brother and sister on July 22nd this year. Currently, the elder brother weighs 4.3 grams and the younger sister weighs 0.6 grams. They're in good condition at present.
The twins' first public appearance was on Saturday, the first day of the week-long National Day holidays. During this week, the pair of giant panda cubs will be on display in the nursery of the panda house of the zoo. Their mother, Ershan, once lived in Canada as a goodwill envoy, but returned to her homeland in 2020. This was Ershan's second delivery of twins. A total of 21 pandas currently live in the Chongqing Zoo, which has been breeding giant pandas since the 1960s. The evolution of robots has been one of the fascinations of recent technological developments. And now the most cutting-edge achievements in that department were presented to the public during a conference in Beijing. The four-day annual World Robot Conference was held both offline and online. It featured three major events, including forum, expo, and competition. On display were more than 500 sets of robots from 130 companies from China and abroad. The conference gave an idea of how the future of humanity will be impacted by the automations. It shows how they can contribute to different sectors, from the restaurant industry and medicine to elderly care, agriculture, and manufacturing. An aircraft powered by electricity may still be some way off, but one of its types is already here thanks to a whole range of innovative solutions being developed by aviation firms. American company Aviation Aircraft has debuted its all-electric plane in Washington State. The aircraft, named Alice, took off the runway at Grand County International Airport and flew for 8 minutes. It reached an altitude of 3,500 feet before touching down the ground. According to the company, the aircraft produces no carbon emissions, significantly reduces noise, and costs a fraction to operate compared to usual light jets. The company says it continues to develop and tweak the plane's battery system for an hour flight.
We're targeting a design criteria of 35 minutes for a charge. And so that'll be a charge for the typical route length. It's actually, as I just said, it's actually a design point. So going back to the comment I made earlier about designing batteries for aircraft, it's one of the considerations is how quickly do we want it to charge and how much power do you want to be able to draw from it. So again, we're targeting, call it 30 minutes of charge for an hour of flight time, or about 2C if you're...
The company aims to find its way into the market for trips that sit between 150 and 250 miles, a range that features aircraft similar in size to Alice. It will also be for both commuter and cargo flights. For aircraft manufacturers, this paradigm shift is driving fuel savings in flight and on the ground, reducing carbon footprints and NOx emissions, while also improving reliability and cutting maintenance costs. Many people of the world are supported almost completely by animals because they live in areas unsuitable for animal husbandry. But these days, even some city dwellers are making their living out of animals, like a Virginia girl. Andrea Diaz quit her job at a restaurant and started to rent her pet alpacas to cheer up steer crazy Americans during the pandemic. Since the launch of her business in 2020, it has expanded from 2 to 14 alpacas. Interestingly, 5 with fluffy pets are regularly making a paid appearance at birthdays, weddings, restaurants, and offices. She charges a starting price of $95 per hour. Diaz says the best part is when there are kids' birthday parties, but even it's really a fun for the adults. She calls alpacas a good exposure because they attract people.
In most of its habitats, the heavily trafficked pangolin faces the biggest threat from humans. But in Taiwan, these gentle creatures are exposed to quite a different danger, feral dogs. In the island, a government policy has led to a surge in the population of feral dogs. The pangolins share most of their roaming area with the stray animals. Plus, these scaly animals cannot move as fast as their attackers. When faced with danger, pangolins curl themselves into a ball shape, but the tail still remains at the most outer side, and that's where the dogs hit them hard.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you. In the limelight.
Amid the war of words between Western and Russian officials over the Ukraine conflict, recently US President Joe Biden warned that Russia would face international consequences if it uses chemical or tactical nuclear weapons in Ukraine. Also, the Russian and Ukrainian officials have made many verbal threats against each other. One of these threats that has severely concerned Western officials was that President Vladimir Putin said Moscow would use all the means at its disposal if Russian territorial integrity was threatened. President Putin's statement was interpreted by the United States as an indirect threat to deploy nuclear weapons in the conflict in Ukraine. We have taken a look at some of the world media's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Guardian has more on this story. Western governments are drawing up plans to avoid panic among their citizens should a nuclear weapon be used in Ukraine. The alleged preparations come as NATO officials are fueling speculation about the possibility and issuing repeated warnings that Moscow would face severe consequences if it deployed the bomb. Asked whether options and crisis plans were in place to address the aftermath of a nuclear detonation in Eastern Europe, an unnamed Western official confirmed that such plans were underway. Referring to a nuclear strike, the official told reporters on Friday, 14th of October, the official said, "As you would expect, the government is conducting prudent planning for a range of possible scenarios, of which that is one." While the official offered few other details about what those options would entail, the report speculated that leaflets could be distributed to inform citizens how to survive a nuclear attack or to avoid panic buying. What the Telegraph described as a nuclear war of words between Russia and the West started recently after Russian President Vladimir Putin vowed that Moscow would use all means at its disposal if Russia's territorial integrity was threatened. The statement was interpreted by the United States and its allies as a veiled threat to deploy nuclear weapons in the conflict in Ukraine. NATO Secretary-General Jens Stoltenberg said on Wednesday, 12th of October, "President Putin knows that if he uses a nuclear weapon in Ukraine, it will have severe consequences for Russia." Britain's Defense Secretary Ben Wallace similarly said on Thursday, 13th of October, that if Russia were to use a nuclear weapon, there would be severe consequences for Russia. Ben Wallace also scolded French President Emmanuel Macron for revealing too much when he said Paris would not respond with its own arsenal of nuclear weapons. Around the same time, the European Union Foreign Policy Chief Josep Borrell said any nuclear attack against Ukraine would prompt a powerful answer from the West, which would see the Russian army annihilated, but also acknowledged it would not be a nuclear answer. The cable news network CNN has also reported on the same story. U.S. President Joe Biden said the United States administration was engaged in a discussion on possible response to Russia's hypothetical use of a tactical nuclear weapon in Ukraine. Joe Biden was quoted as saying, "There's been discussion of that, but I'm not going to get into that. It would be irresponsible of me to talk about what we would or wouldn't do." President Biden told an interview he does not expect Russian leader Vladimir Putin to use tactical nuclear weapons in Ukraine. When asked about the possibility of the use of tactical nuclear weapons, Biden said, "I don't think he will. I think it's irresponsible for him to talk about it. In his opinion, this scenario could lead to just a horrible outcome." Biden said he has no plans of meeting with his Russian counterpart Vladimir Putin on the sidelines of the G20 summit in Indonesia, but it depends on the subject that the Russian leader would like to discuss with him. On 7th of October, Joe Biden said that for the first time since the Cuban Missile Crisis,